Have any of you here heard the Nectar of Devotion series that Srila Prabhupada spoke in 1974? Anyone has heard that Nectar Devotion series? It's right here where we're sitting that Prabhupada spoke Nectar Devotion for one whole month. Rupa Goswami. This is the Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami, and there is the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. On the opposite side is the Samadhi of Jiva Goswami, the Pushpa Samadhi of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and the Pushpa Samadhi of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Going in that direction as far as you can go is the Samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami and many others. I don't know all the names of them in that Samadhi area on that side. Right through that window right there is, on the other side of the window, is one of the two rooms where Srila Prabhupada stayed for some 11 years, and there he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, the first three volumes, right there. On one occasion, although Rupa Goswami has described Radha Kund as the most sacred place in the universe, on one occasion Prabhupada said, this is the most sacred place in the universe. The reason he gave was, during the height of the Goswami era, when Gaudiya Vaishnavism was at its peak of exalted purity and elevation, and so many great personalities residing together here in Vrindavan. This is where they would gather, because geographically, it's very central. Tomorrow we're going to be going to the Radha Govinda Temple, which is some distance away. So where Rupa Goswami stayed. Madan Mohan, this way. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, that way. This was right in the center. And it's in the Seva Kunj area of Vrindavan. And what is the Seva Kunj area of Vrindavan particularly known for? One of the favorite places for Krishna and Radha to perform their Rasa Leela. Very, very sacred place in Krishna's pastimes. I'm looking at my watch. It's 11 o'clock. There's so many things to say, and it's a great place to say it. Of course, this structure is not the way it was for a long, 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 long time. When I was sharing this with the devotees, when I first came here, there were trees and there was natural shade, but over the course of time, the trees died or the trees were cut or something. And so this was created to make a nice place for doing just what we're doing. But the natural beauty is gone, and now it's something else. And this area that people are walking down, and on the other side you have to walk up. Before it was like a little tunnel underground, not exactly a tunnel, but there was an overpass area, and you would walk down, down. And as you walk down, even in the heat of the summer, it was cool. Prabhupada explained, that's where the Goswamis would sit. It's wide enough and cool enough that practically in any temperature. They could go, like, you know, quiet, secluded place and engage in Krishna Katha all day long. These most elevated personalities that were, like, you know, communicating directly with Radha and Krishna would come and Radha would come and they would interact with these personalities and they were discussing Krishna Katha. Who can imagine? Right here, in the very place where we're gathered today. So Srila Prabhupada chose this place, more or less, walls right here. So right where I'm sitting, Prabhupada sat and spoke nectar devotion for 1 month to his fledgling Western devotees, protecting them from all types of other teachings, wanting to fix them in the teachings of Rupa Goswami. Very, very clearly. So I'll just say a few things, because when I'm thinking what we'll do is describe briefly, and then we'll go to Radha Shyamasundar Temple, and then we'll go to Radha Raman Temple, and then we'll catch up on the Katha, and then the translation work. Because on the little bit about the life of Jiva Goswami, since this temple is Jiva Goswami's temple, Jiva Goswami was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Rupa and Sanatan had a third brother whose name was Anupam. The three brothers together met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some of the biographies of Jiva Goswami describe that he was there at that meeting and he was just a very small boy. Very small. Even smaller than you. Very small. Very small. But he was in Lord Chaitanya's association. And naturally, because of his father and two brothers, who were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, he would regularly hear about Lord Chaitanya. And he grew up his whole life hearing about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was very, very eager to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before he had that opportunity, Mahaprabhu left this world. He had a dream in which Mahaprabhu appeared and instructed him, you should go to Vrindavan and take the association of your two uncles, because by this time his father had died, so he grew up without father. But he had the shelter of Mahaprabhu and the shelter of his two uncles, so he was instructed to go there. And en route, from where he lived, he stopped in Navadvip to see the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and while there, by divine arrangement, Lord Nityananda was there. So he met Lord Nityananda. But he not only met Lord Nityananda, the meeting was totally ecstatic. And what they did together was also totally ecstatic. Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami on parikrama, just as we're taking parikrama in Vrindavan. He took him on parikrama in Navadvip, of all the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And it was recorded. And a book was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur describing that exchange. When he was in ecstasy of love for Krishna through Lord Nityananda's association, Lord Nityananda sent him on his way to Vrindavan, but first to Benares to study under Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was a student of Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. So because he was a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he knew perfectly well all the impersonal teachings. All the six darshans, he was trained. But he was trained by one who was also a student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, so he knew perfectly well about Krishna Bhakti. So he learned in fastidious detail impersonal atheistic teachings, and what's the foundation of them and how to defeat them on the strength of Mahaprabhu's teachings. And Jiva Goswami was super scholar. He wasn't just an ordinary student. He was the most brilliant person, Prabhupada said, the most brilliant scholar that ever walked the face of the earth in all the history of mankind. That was Jiva Goswami. And after completing his studies, he then went to Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan, he met Rupa Goswami, who immediately accepted him like his own son. So in age, Jiva Goswami was much younger. He was the son of the youngest of those three brothers. So he was very young. But treated with such love and affection by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami gave him his residence here in Sevakunj. He gave him his deity to worship. The biographies describe that Rupa Goswami with his own hand carved the deity. He didn't just give it to a Murtiwala, can you make a deity like this? He, with his own hand, made the deity. And when we go to Jaipur and you see the deity of Radha Damodar, better make sure you're holding on to something when you see the deity, because otherwise you'll get knocked off your feet. The deity is so beautiful. And think of the devotion of Rupa Goswami making the deity for Jiva Goswami and training him how to do the worship of the deity. Not just, read Nectar Devotion and come back and ask questions. He showed him how to worship the deity. He worshipped the deity with such love and affection that it's described. The deity would regularly have conversation with Jiva Goswami. He and Radha would dance on the altar. They were in such happiness being worshipped by Jiva Goswami. They would do like this. So the deities that are here, there's a whole series of deities on the altar, including right in front is the Govardhan Shila of Sanatan Goswami. Briefly describe that, but we can hear it hundreds of times. That's nice. Sanatan Goswami, as I mentioned, at his samadhi, he was, in his final years, he was living at Radhakund because he had taken this vow that he would do Govardhan Prakrama every day. So we're going to go one day Govardhan Prakrama. Sanatan Goswami did Govardhan Prakrama every day. Feel how your legs feel, especially those that are a little older, at the end of one day Govardhan Prakrama. And imagine being 80 years old and doing, and there's an inner path and there's an outer path, and he did the outer path every day. And he got so old that it was difficult, very difficult for him to perform Prakrama. So Krishna came, disguised like a little cowherd boy, and said, Sanatan Goswami, it pains us, the residents of Vrindavan, to see you do Parikrama every day. You're so old. You don't need to do this. You're on the perfected platform. Please. And he said, no, 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 I've taken a vow. However difficult it is, I must do it. I've taken a vow. The Krishna said, I'll make this arrangement for you. He placed his feet and his walking stick and the print of a calf in the Govardhan Shila, and it melted. He said, you just circumambulate this Shila that you'll see on the altar some number of times, 7 times, 8 times, and that will be equal to your circumambulation of the entire Govardhan Hill, because the Govardhan Shila is Govardhan. So he agreed. And for the balance of his life, he circumambulated the Govardhan Shila that's on the altar. And when he left his body was taken in a grand procession. All the residents of Vrindavan loved Sanatan Goswami, and they brought his body to his samadhi and brought the Govardhan Shila here. Here, because this is the place. This is the headquarters, practically. Just as the other deities of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and deities of Jayadev Goswami and deities of Bhugarbha Goswami, whose samadhi is over there, as well as the deities of Jiva Goswami. This was the place. So their deities were brought here for worship because of the presence of Jiva Goswami. So from here, Jiva Goswami wrote so many, many, many volumes of books. Emperor Akbar came to Vrindavan during his reign as king, and he was so moved by the brilliance and of scholarship and purity of Jiva Goswami that he was begging to do some service. So Jiva Goswami said, you can build a temple for Radha Damodar. And other temples in the Vrindavan area were also built on that basis of that relationship, the inspiration received from Jiva Goswami, who also established a library of the writings of the Goswamis. Fortunate for us, he had the vision to understand, gather those books of the Goswamis. And after the Goswamis left, some of you went, because there was this delay, we went to the Samadhi of Sanatan Goswami, big structure. Finally, they took down that little wire fence around it. And there's other samadhis in that area. So way over in the corner, there's a tall dome-shaped samadhi, which is the Grantha Samadhi. Grantha means scripture. Jiva Goswami received the writings of Rupa Goswami, and some of them were so elevated, so esoteric in their depiction of Radha and Krishna's Leela, that he concluded, the world should not see these literatures. They will not properly understand them. So he took the decision to put them in samadhi, never to be seen by the world thereafter, as the acharya, that was his call. Such a personality, Jiva Goswami. He particularly is also known for his training of Narottam, Shyamananda, and Srinivas, the next generation of Vaishnavas that would lead the whole of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. They were placed under Jiva Goswami to train in Krishna consciousness, to train in the teachings of the Goswamis. Out of concern for time, there's so many things to say, but I won't, so that we can get darshan of Radha Shyama Sundar, and then darshan of Radha Raman. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Rupa Goswami ki, Sri Jiva Goswami ki, Sri Sri Radha Damodar ki, Samveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jatai Gaur Premanande.